All right, y'all, it's spring, and you know what that means. It's time to start planning our summer festival traveling. Yep, it's time to get into my Airbnb bag cross-country, a.k.a. Time to visit my homes all across the country. And you know what I never think about? Why not list my own spot on Airbnb and host some folks at my house? I mean, my house is cute. Yes, let's make money while we're spending money. Just trying to help you out, man, because your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio. This classic episode was produced by the team at Pandora.
What up? This is Unpaid Bill from Questlove Supreme. Check out singer, songwriter, and producer Ty Dolla $ign as he shares some of his words of wisdom and talks growing up in the LA music scene, his creative process, and working with everyone from Babyface and Skrillex to up-and-comer Tish Hyman. This is a QLS classic with Ty Dolla $ign from January 17th, 2018.
Damn, that nigga Ludie Washington.
Yes. Yo, how do you know his name?
IBB.
Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call.
See one of my girls in the club.
Yeah.
See two of my girls in the club.
Yeah.
See three. Oh, God. Yeah. Security! Security!
Suprema! Suprema roll call! Suprema! Suprema roll call!
My name is Fonte.
Yeah.
This is how we start.
Yeah.
Because I'm stealing.
Yeah.
All these bitches' hearts.
Roll call! Suprema! Suprema roll call! Suprema! Suprema roll call!
My name is Sugar.
Yeah.
And Sugar's fine.
Yeah.
Like the almighty.
Yeah.
Dollar sign.
Roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call.
It's like Ia.
Yeah.
Feeling like a baddie.
Yeah.
Ty Dolla $ign, y'all.
Yeah.
Hey, Zaddy.
Roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call.
My name is Ty.
Yeah.
Ty Dolla.
Yeah.
Beach House 3.
Yeah.
In stores now.
Roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call.
Wow. Hey, first of all, let me just say, Ty, thank you for your understated ad libs because we've had a few guests.
Charlie Wilson was running, boy. Charlie Wilson went ham. Q-tip went ham.
Q-tip went ham, turkey, and chicken,
and dressing.
He did Ty did the moaning, the plantation moaning. Something about to happen, that midnight moaning. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Questlove Supreme. Questlove, we have a team Supreme here. Are we still here?
We still here. We cut down a little bit.
Diet Supreme.
Yes, we got Diet Team Supreme. We got
post holiday Supreme. We got Fontigolo in the house. What's up, man? All
right.
How you doing? We have Laia. It's Laia.
Hey, y'all.
And Sugar Steve.
I never miss a show.
This is true.
That is true.
That is true. Steve, he's the only one of us that has perfect attendance other than Questlove. Yeah.
No, I wasn't technically there for the
Roots Picnic.
Roots Picnic.
Oh.
I mean,
you showed up a little bit in and out.
But. Yeah, I was, you know, I showed up, but, you know. You do have perfect
attendance. Attendance is everything.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll make sure you get
it. It's the first step in everything is showing up.
That's very true. That's very what we learned at elementary school.
That's where you hit me with this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Forgive me, y'all.
That's what we learned in elementary school. That's me, baby.
Anyway, today
I love this show already.
Today we got singer, songwriter, producer, Los Angeles native, still Los Angeles native, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is everything fine? You know, because I mean,
there's a big fire going on
right
now.
I'm saying is
yeah. Some of the homies have had to evacuate, but
are you fine at the moment?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
My life is
all your house
incredible.
Is good.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Just want to make
all right,
sure.
Cool.
The lineage royalty. We have Todd Dallasign in the house today. He's going to talk about his life journey from making underground mixtapes to singing over some of the notable producers that we all love on the show. Madlib, Black Milk, Dilla even. Even with Sour Eye Creative Partners, one of my favorite. Oh, my God. It's almost 10 years for them.
Not really. Yeah.
That's almost half old school. When something's not old, is this a classic now?
Yeah, I guess 10 years.
15 years is old school.
15 years is old school.
Like the Neptunes are old school.
But you know
now.
What, though? The way music moves wow. now, like 5 years is damn near old school.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
We probably got to ask the youngest one in the room about that. What'd you say, Ty? What's old school?
Right. Man, the way my little homies is talking, 3 years is old school.
Hey, that sound about right.
True. Anyway, yeah. Yo.
They be like, you're the OG, homie.
and right now he's here promoting his latest effort, Beach House 3. And we would like to welcome Ty Dolla $ign, the Questlove Supreme.
Yeah. Appreciate y'all, man. Yeah. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Happy to be in all of your presence.
Thanks for coming, man.
We're happy to have you.
For sure. So, yeah, Beach House 3 is out. One of my favorite projects up to date. I got John Mayer on my project, man. That's like a big life goal for me. One of my favorite musicians out there. You know, and... my next project, I'm gonna have Questlove. You feel me? Putting that
absolutely.
Out there.
Why not?
You don't have to put it out. All I do is work.
Let's go.
I'm down. We only work once. Well, you came on the show once. What, like 2013, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you came through.
That was definitely. The first time you've been on national TV on Fallon, remember?
That was your
first time? Yeah,
wow.
That was my first time.
See, it's kismet. Y'all supposed to be together.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we're addicted to work.
It's time to get in that lab, though.
True. So you're, all right, so you were born in Los Angeles, correct?
I was born in Los Angeles, raised in Los Angeles. I'm not like when people come to LA and they have like bad things to say about LA, I feel like, you know what? Y'all have been like on the other side of Wilshire, like meaning Hollywood and like, you know, like where all the out of towners be at. Like I'm talking about the other side of Wilshire, like the real LA. That's where I'm from, you know?
Name it's
a good
some
place.
Areas like Inglewood. You talking about like Inglewood,
like South Central, okay. Like Midtown, like Inglewood, like Compton, like Long Beach. Like
so, what know, do you? What would you consider
West Adams?
What would you consider Pasadena, Altadena?
That's like
that's.
I mean, there's some homies from over there too. You know, you got a Pasadena guy in the booth right now. My security Brown.
Okay,
you feel me?
I'm quasi Pasadena.
Yeah.
Probably did like 2 or 3 years in Pasadena when
nice.
I was a kid.
Ain't no hood passes though, I don't think.
Well, I was also 3, so there's not much I could do.
Who's Gucci?
I think you needed it at that point.
No, so it's if I don't know, like I'm one of these people that, you know, because I'm in the industry and I have a lot of industry peeps, I will say that I think it's almost by default or fashionable for people to sort of disavow or disassociate themselves from LA. Yeah. But for me, like, I mean, whatever side you're on, either the hood side or the Hollywood side or whatever, yeah. There's always this thing of like, you know, LA's not real, it's superficial, it's fake and da 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 da. But, you know, I'll say for myself, LA is like probably one of 4 places that I still get excited to go to. You know, like now that I live in New York, it's like I live here. So the mystery's gone of, oh, I'm coming to New York. You know, yeah. That used to be a thing coming from Philly. But for me, I've always loved everything about going to L.A. and never understood people that were sort of like, eh, I'm cool.
Whatever about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on where you're from. That's why the song that you did about L.A., that was like the perfect way to describe it. Like the feeling, like everything. But I think a lot of East Coast people, sometimes they come to LA feeling some type of way because it moves slower. It's the opposite. It's kind of like the opposite.
Yeah,
in a way,
it's,
but
it's
not
more laid back. Like, one thing I wanted to ask you is, I was talking, this has been a couple weeks ago, I was talking to Terrace Martin, and he was like, yo, man, you got to come to LA. You got to come out here. Like, the air is different out here. That was his exact quote. He's like, yo, the air is just different out here. You need to come and let's get in. Like, creatively.
Terrace is always going to give you one of them famous, you know, Terrace quotes.
Yeah,
one of the legendary quotes.
Yo, man, that was his. He's like, yo, the air is different. So, like, creatively, what is it? I mean, for you, I mean,
for me, it's the air, like you said. It's just like when I'm here, it's one vibe. I actually, when I made that song LA, it was here. Me and Kendrick, we both did our verses out here. But when you're out there, it's definitely like a different vibe that you get. It's,
the beach, know, makes a difference too.
For sure,
mm-hmm.
For sure. Even though all the studios ain't nowhere near the beach,
right? So, what are your views on New York? Like, when, as an LA native, when you're traveling to New York or whatever, do you?
It's the same exact feeling that you said. I think, like, I'm excited. I can't wait to get out there and just touch the city, and you know.
So you're excited.
You lived
to come
here for
the
minute,
energy,
right? Yeah,
you
lived
like
here for
07, 08, I was out here, me and my boy Parker, and you know, I was like in the studios trying to, you know, see who I could get a beat placed on. At that time, I was just doing a lot of beats and mm-hmm. I sung and all that, but I wasn't like, it was more so like focusing on beats and all that. And that didn't work out. So I ended up going back to LA. Me and YG linked up. We made Tooted and Booted. And then, you know, everything
the
took off from
open.
There.
Yeah. You know? So I guess it should be noted that your father is a member of Lakeside.
Yeah.
And like just growing up in that, was he an original member in the group?
Or? Nah, he wasn't an original member. He came later.
When was his period?
All through the 80s, 90s.
Okay, okay.
2000s.
So around like, I guess when Outrageous was.
Yeah, it sounds best by that time. Because he toured with them.
Yeah, he
right?
toured with them. Yeah.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. So were you a backstage kid as far as like
growing? Yeah, for sure. Backstage kid, studio kid.
Just describe that period. Like what were you seeing at in your formative young years coming up?
Young years coming up, just, you know, Pops, his homies, Earth, Wind & Fire, Shalamar, all the people from back then.
All like, the solo
records. All our records.
I remember them all. Like, you know, they would come to the house sometimes when they would throw parties, mm-hmm. whatever. Studios, you know. I remember, like, when my homies around me started, you know, smoking weed or whatever, I remembered that smell from when I was young. I'm like, I always thought it was cigarettes because I would see the little roaches, but, like, it wasn't. Yeah, so a lot of that.
Did you have, even as a young, as in your young years, like, did you have any desires to get into music, or were you just observing?
Yeah, like, I was just observing, really, but, like, hearing, like, them figure out songs and, like, you know, writing songs together, and then me going and touching the piano or touching the guitar and being able to, like, play that same melody that I just heard by ear, mm-hmm. that was, like, the start. And once I figured that out, then my pops ended up buying me an MPC. And then from there, I got an InSonic TS-10, and I learned how to MIDI. And then I learned the ADATs and all that.
Wow.
How old were you ADAT when you started?
Like 10.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a little unusual. Like,
yeah.
I just wanted a drum set. I didn't want a damn studio equipment.
I always wanted the drum set, but they never would buy me the drum set, I guess, because it would have made too much noise. That was my mom's excuse. So, you know, I wanted to be you, bro.
Because you play, right? You play drums, too.
Yeah, I mean, play drums, but like not like him, but I play drums, though, for sure.
That's actually smart for parents to buy kids MPCs instead of drum kits,
because
you can use headphones and stuff and keep it real quiet in the house.
Yep.
See, my parents bought me a drum set because they wanted to know I was in the basement rehearsing 24/7.
It was a monitoring tool.
Yes, exactly.
Then, like, I met this other kid, right? His name was Troy. And his dad was in the Brothers Johnson. He knew how to make beats, too.
Which one was his pops?
George Johnson.
I know
George.
Troy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Troy taught me, like, what to do. You know what I mean? From, like, young. And then after that, we went off.
So growing up, like, because these are people that we idolized.
Yeah.
Like, everyone always says, like, oh, you're just dad to me. You're not, like, did you realize that your particular situation was just a little bit different than your peers around the way, or did that not faze you at all?
I mean, it's great. Like, everything.
Like,
I
how
know.
Do your friends? I'm sorry. How do your friends, at least in that time of your life, how do they accept your existence? Like, because you're experiencing things that they don't. You get to meet.
Yeah, like. People, like, you know, friends from the neighborhood would think it was, like, cool and all that, but, like, really, I used to want to keep it separate so people wouldn't, like, I think it's kind of like what my daughter goes through now. If I go to her school and she doesn't want me to, like, get out and you know, come get her like that, because everybody would be like,
because she's a teenager or something, right?
She's 12 now. Woo, no. So, like,
oh my God, what is that like?
It's crazy. So, you know what I mean? And she's in middle school. So, if I get out, then all the kids will come running, like, oh, let me get a picture of Ty Dolla $ign, da da da. And then she doesn't get to, like, you know, be in leader at school. Yeah. So, I never wanted people to, you know about that, really, or, like, you know, be around me for that. So that's how that was. You know what I'm saying?
Well, what kind of car are you pulling up to the school? Also, you know,
I've been blessed. I like to take my driver Matt up there in the Suburban, and
that's, you are, like, doing the best too much.
Way. No, the Suburban is pretty.
Yeah, he said, I like to take my driver.
Yeah, it's regular. That's pretty regular. Like,
I got to give him respect, you know? Shout out to Matt.
Yeah, you pull up in a Phantom or some shit, and it's like, all right, you're looking for attention. But the Suburban is, that's pretty standard fare.
Yo, having a 12-year-old daughter changes everything. Yeah. Not even just, like, that whole aspect. I'm just thinking, it's just in 2017, yeah, having a daughter being Ty Dolla $ign is, like, interesting. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, is she listening to every,
like,
word?
Over the last 2 years, like, then it started getting real, like, after 10, like, where it's like, okay, she's got the phone. I'm like, play your music, play whatever you want to play, just hop in the play, put whatever you're listening to on, and, like, I can tell she's, like, she's getting there. So I'm like, wow, oh, I like that song you put out, Dad. Oh, I like that new song. Oh, I like that. Okay.
So she's aware.
When Beach House 3 came, it was like, all right, I'm not gonna, like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In the studio, you have to.
That's good,
yeah,
though. You have, like, built-in A&R, though.
Yeah, Snapchat, straight, like, up. Oh, she has a Snapchat. Okay, so I gotta, like, you know. She doesn't have an Insta yet. So I got, like, how I don't know how much
that's
more time
year.
I got next,
yeah,
year.
That's,
it's
18.
Coming.
Yeah,
it's coming.
13 years old, yeah.
Yeah, so. You guys will be seeing much more Dad.
Much
bye
more.
Bye, old Ty Dolla.
Radio edits.
Radio edits. So, like, as a kid,
it's,
like,
gonna get better, though. I promise y'all.
So I would
better
ask,
and better.
One thing I want to ask you is, as a kid, so it was your pops. He played with Lakeside. Yeah, is your mom? Did she have any musical talent?
She doesn't do music at all. And then, of course, after pops and moms broke up, she didn't want me to do music. Grandpops didn't want me to do music. Nobody from that side was, like, a fan of the music. So, you know, when life started to happen more and I started to feel like, you know, I know everything and, you know, I could do everything on my own, you know, I was, like, in the back of my grandmother's crib on my dad's side, you know, working. And shout out to her because her birthday's coming up this weekend, and, you know, everybody in the family's texting me, and I even go on Instagram Live earlier, and one of my cousins gets on there like, yo, are you coming this week? Like, what? Like, it's my grandma's birthday. You already know I'm going to be there. Like, the whole family going. She about to be 92. So,
oh, wow. So you're still close to your family?
Hell yeah, man.
Like, is it slightly different, though?
It's slightly different for sure. Like, you know, with certain people. But, like, the real ones, like,
yeah,
the immediate family is always regular.
It's all good.
What is it? But what like, is that adjustment like though?
New cousins, like, oh,
right. Mm-hmm. No, but when new old cousins get new on you, right. When old cousins get new on you, yeah, you know, that's you know, like how do you adjust to that? Because that's one of the I feel like that's one of the hardest transitions that one can go through when you're like in an isolated situation and you get meteoric success. And then it's like our success, it's our thing,
right?
Yeah, I've learned with like all issues, I'll like just if I really really you know mess with you, I'll give you a couple explanations if it takes that many times, and then I'll just go quiet for a minute and let you figure it out yourself. And it seems to it's been working pretty well.
They get it.
People like end up figuring it out. You know if it's meant to be.
Hey. Ty Dolla Sign.
That was
I had to. Sorry, Steve.
I feel a certain way.
He's like, I just got this. Damn.
Right. Sorry, Steve. But
hey, did your mother, when did she turn the cheek and go, you know what, son? You may have something with this.
When, you know, I came back at her and asked her.
Exactly, right.
No, she's always, like, supported me. She just wanted me to figure it out. But it was definitely that time where she was like, yo, so, you know, your video's out, your song's on the radio, but where's the money?
That sounds like my mother, yes, you know? Yes, that's a mother, yes, and, yes.
I just had to
Were you in her house?
Harder.
Were you in her?
Nah, okay. But, you know, she was just asking where it is. She just always cares for sure. She wants to see, make sure I'm on the right path and not wasting my time. So I figured it out. And it just took, you know, consistency. And we made it happen.
What was the, how did you and Corey link up?
Corey. Me and Corey linked up through this random dude that I met at the Guitar Center named Etc. And Etc. heard me playing bass and he was like, yo, I make music too. I got something I want to play you. And we went outside and it was like some rap music and it was dope. He was from New York. And I told him I'm going to come out here because I met somebody online that I was going to sell a beat to at the time. And I ended up coming out here. I linked up with him. And when I went to his crib, it was in Bed-Stuy. And Corey was in the living room and he was making music on the laptop or whatever at the time, the desktop at the time. And he sounded like Raphael Sadiq a little bit, like had a little vibe to him. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of crazy. Let's make a song. We end up making like three songs that same day right there. And then we met back up at the Sundance Film Festival in Utah because I was like doing some music for some little film at the time. And we end up linking up at this dude Parker's crib, which Parker became my best friend and he still lives with me right now. And it's crazy. But me and Corey end up making like a whole little project in a week at this dude Parker's crib and it was called Ron Bangin' 1.
Yeah, yeah.
And we made Ron Bangin' 2 and end up linking with Will.i.am and Timberlake and made a little situation and met all these different people and that's all that did. And then I end up going back to L.A. That's at the time when I was living in New York too. Okay. Then I end up going back in L.A. and, you know, end up going back to my hood, just, you know, making beats and, you know, making songs for homies around the neighborhood. And my big homie from my hood was like, yo, I'm managing this new little dude. I think you should mess with him. He got Compton on lock and all that. I'm like, all right. So I listen to it, and it's this like jerk music, and it's like, I don't know, bro. Like, that's not what I'm on. Like, mm-hmm. But he's like, bro, I promise you. He brings him to the house, and I make this beat, and it's the Tooted and Booty beat. Right. Mm-hmm. And I had sampled, what was the group called? I can't think of it right now. I just sampled this record. My homie Kors just pulled it out, and like I sampled it and did the little drums, and he came in. I mean, my other cousin TC, 4800, little TC that's mm-hmm. out there, him and Nana was like, make a song called Tooted and Booted. I'm like, what does that mean? They like hit it and go.
Yeah,
I'm like, all right. So I just come up with the hook, and YG does his verse, TC does his verse. We make a video with the homie James, right?
James Fauntleroy?
Nah, not James Fauntleroy. My other homie James. And right now James is a, like an actor and all that, but at the time like he was shooting videos and all that, and like on this old cheap camera. So we went to Doc Wilder Beach, shot the video. It came out Ty Dolla $ign featuring YG and TC 4800, Tooted and Booted. Next thing you know, there was a million views up there in like in a month. And then Def Jam starts calling and they're like, yo, we want to sign YG. I'm like, oh. All right, let's get it. Like however it's supposed to come, like let's get it. And of course they wanted Tooted and Booted as the single. And I'm like, cool. So we're going to do a reshoot of the video, right? It's with Colin Tilley.
Who came calling from Def Jam? Do you know?
Max Goose.
Okay. Yeah. I know Max.
Shout out to Max. So this dude, Colin Tilley is shooting the video. It's like his first video, like right before he got huge. He's like one of the biggest directors out there now, right? And the video drops and it says, YG Tooted and Booted. I am in the video, but it says nothing no about Ty Dolla $ign, right? So I'm like, all right,
feel
cool.
Some sort of way.
Like, it's time to keep on. That's what my mom's talking that, like, yeah,
where
your
the
shit's
money?
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, where's the money? Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, the guy who I produce with a lot, his name is Jacasso, he ends up getting killed. And when he got killed, that, like, made me just, like, not even want to do beats no more. I was just discouraged from life. Like, I felt like, why him out of everybody? He was like one of the best people I know on earth. So, you know, YG's doing shows and he's having me come through, and we started like making money. So he's getting $10,000 to come perform at little clubs in LA. He'll give me $400 for coming to do the hook. He'll get
Mustard like $400.
You feel me? For DJing. Mustard doesn't do beats at this time either. And
you knew Mustard pre-beats?
Yeah. He was just like the DJ from, you know, LA, like the little homie that DJ. His uncle, DJ T, was the one who was DJing during our high school period. You know, when I went to Dorsey for a second. And it's crazy because now, like, you know, his nephew's DJing or whatever, so we have him. And, you know, Jacasso gets killed. They need somebody because, like, now Def Jam signed YG, and I'm not trying to do the beats no more. And Mustard comes through, and he's like, yo, let me get some sounds, like, because he's watching me the whole time, and I'm not even, like, paying attention that he's watching.
What?
But, I give him the sounds, and he's linked up with this other dude, Mike Free, and he knows how to work Reason, so he's teaching Mustard how to work Reason. And then, you know, next thing you know, Mustard pulls up on me on La Brea and 21st, like a month later, like, I'm about to pass you up on these beats. I'm like, yeah, all right.
Wait, I just got marinated on that. Like, I'm thinking, like, in my head, because I've only talked to Mustard once, but in my head, I'm thinking, like, it's just like Dexter in the lab, like some science lab, like he's going to revolutionize and all this stuff. And you're just like, he just picked it up one day.
Like, seriously though, like I gave him these sounds and then he made Rack City. And after Rack City, it was like 2 Chainz, I'm different. Then it was like YG's whole tape. And like,
so those are all your patches?
Yeah, man. And my brother made millions off of it.
I don't need to laugh.
Wraiths.
That's crazy.
With the stars on the ceiling. Shout out to Mustard, man.
It
was so good to just see, like, somebody, like, go from the guy that's, like, joking about moms and, you know, shooting dice and just being, like, a young asshole and to turn it into, like, you know, a super millionaire. And like Mustard, YG, all of us, like, we all just, like, you know, it's just like we're in my mom's crib and making songs in that back room, and then all of a sudden, like, we're all like, we all got our own cribs, you know?
What were y'all God using? What was your weapon of choice in terms of production? What were
MP,
you using?
And I ended up getting all the keyboards from Moogs to...
Which MP?
2000 XL.
Aha!
Yeah, that's when you got in this.
I'm a champion. Philly. People still make fun of me for not letting go of that, but I love it so.
I love it. And I still use it.
You still?
Yeah.
All right. But hang on one second. James Poise, you hear that? It's still usable. Anyway, so go ahead.
And what else? Fruity Loops. I like Fruity Loops now.
Still use Fruity Loops?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
Like if I'm on the plane and I just have my laptop and I feel like making music and not watching a movie, which I'm not like a TV movie watcher guy like that unless I'm like...
You gotta be productive.
Yeah.
Productive. Wait, so forgive my ignorance. I would assume that Fruity Loops has updated since the days of Little Brother, right?
I think so. The last time Ninth...
Which
he
I'm
sent
a huge
me
fan.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, Ninth, he sent me a batch. I mean, this has been, God, this was like 2013, 14. He had went back on Fruity Loops because for a while, Ninth was using the MP. He left and he went back. He went to the MP. Then he went back to Fruity Loops.
Thank you.
And so he had sent me some Fruity Loops batch. And now I think he's strictly on machine. That machine is kind of like what everybody is. I mean, that's the thing now.
Okay.
Which is kind of, it emulates the MP a lot, but I think that's what he's on now. But I think, yeah, the interface has updated a lot since 02. Okay. I mean, when we were doing it on a compact, I mean, shit.
Compact.
I would hope the shit didn't upgrade it since then.
So in making beats, who were you looking up to when you were, well, first of all, Ninth, I got to go back to when you were 10.
I was looking up to Dilla. I was looking up to Madlib, E. Swift from The Alcoholics.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
I was looking up to Black Milk, Dr. Dre, Daz Dillinger. There's so many people, man.
Did you ever get to meet any of the people that you idolized to get
to? Yeah, damn near all of them. Yeah. Except for Madlib, I talked to him on the phone and we were supposed to link and then the day came and then he didn't answer.
That's Otis.
That's cool.
No, he goes.
Yo,
he turns,
but I love
he
that dude
phone
and I want to work with him one day and like he's probably one of my favorite ever. Everybody I've been meeting them and it's been a blessing.
So you are a real head.
Sure.
To the bone.
Yep.
Yeah, that.
But I like all kinds of music, though, for sure. Like, you know.
I mean, what does your childhood record collection look like compared to now, which is more playlist based? But
yeah, everything I said plus like, you know, the singing stuff as well.
Right.
One of my favorite singers ever, Stokely from In Condition.
Oh man, still a beast.
I like a lot of gospel. I like Kim Burrell. That's my favorite female singer ever.
You sing gospel, right?
I played in church. Okay. I played bass and like I was learning, watching everybody.
Why'd you say past tense? Like,
what was that you did? Like on the keys? Mm. What was that chord on the organ? Okay. Yeah. Then watching the choir director and how they like, you know, come up with these harmonies and give them to people. And like, that's how like I do my harmonies when I'm singing.
Yeah, I think that's really an underrated part about you. I really dig your vocal arrangements, man.
I appreciate
they be on point.
That.
Shit is dope.
So I definitely studied like everywhere I went and like picked up something.
And all your music, like you're self-taught. Like you never took formal lessons on any of the instruments.
Nah, not really. I did take like a class in the ninth grade, like just piano. And it really to me was just like, okay, now I know how to read a little bit, but I can figure it out anyway, so it's not gonna really.
I love your answer when I asked Ty how many instruments does he play? He was like, well, if it has strings and you know, you can play it with some sticks. And what was the other one? And you said it's
keys.
And keys. I'm hitting it.
Yeah, it's like Prince. Yeah, everything but Will wins.
Exactly.
Did you guys ever get to me? Because I know he's like one of your favorites.
I shook his hair one time at a party late night in LA, and then one time I went to the Saturday Night Live after party with Ye, and all of a sudden Prince hopped on. You were DJing that night, and all of a sudden Prince hopped on stage and Taylor Swift, right?
What?
Not Taylor. I'm trying to.
Who was it?
Yikes! I'm trying to. Yeah, I'm showing my age now.
No, you, it was a lot of Prince parties.
It's been so many ago.
Yeah. I know. At the 40.
The 40.
You at the 40?
Yeah.
Is that like the 44?
Damn, we need. Okay. Saturday Night Live. Because in my mind, I was like, oh, God, he thinks I'm someone else.
Nah, I know.
And then I was like, wait a minute. This does sound familiar. No, Saturday Night Live had their 40th anniversary. And that's why Kanye
went to
was.
That?
Yeah.
Whoa. You know what's weird? Because the freaking NBA All-Star game was the same day.
Yeah.
So I had planned on going to the Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary special.
Yeah.
But I also had to DJ the NBA All-Star thing at New York. So I did, like, up until halftime, I had to DJ something and then run to 30 Rock. So I totally missed the fact that Kanye was the musical guest at SNL 40.
Yep.
He was on his back. I forgot what song he performed.
Wolves.
Was it Wolves? Yeah, okay, yeah, he did Wolves.
He laid on his back, right? It was like something weird.
Yeah, he did something where he laid on the ground. Okay. Yep. Yeah, I came in like right when that was getting done, but I totally forgot that.
So, yeah, that was my only time ever getting to see him perform, but he just got on. I think, was that random or was that planned?
Oh, that was super random. Like everything that happened that night.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that Ye was there?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
We were in there.
Okay. People just ghost in and ghost out, but nah, none of it was planned. And that night was super magical. Like Prince, basically Jimmy just said, I think Dave Chappelle whispered in Jimmy's ear, like, I think I just saw Prince walked in. It was just like, I think he just walked in, and they willed it, and then Prince like floated to the stage. He just floated to the stage. He did Let's Go Crazy for 10 minutes and then floated out of there just as quick as he came in.
Damn. Yeah.
Yo, what's up? This is Fonte Gallo from Team Supreme. Black representation in media is very important to me. I think it's important to have our stories told by people who look like us and who have shared in our common experiences. Some of my earliest influences were Donnie Simpson. I would also say Tom Joyner, Angela Stribling, Sherry Carter. They were just people who told our stories with a lot of class and dignity and were big inspirations to me. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast, The Center Black Voices. It's NPR Noir. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR. Wherever you get podcasts.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now, listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you got to change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? No, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
How did you, the connection with Sara come about? Because the end of joint, like that's, I mean, I love that record.
Appreciate it. So Chords, my homie, he was like, he played it for me one day, and then I end up meeting them through Steve, Thundercat.
Yeah.
And we just went over to the Sarah house that was like up in Silver Lake, and we just vibed, and we just kept on making like song after song after song. Me, Shafiq, Taz, Omas. And they end up using those two, and there's many. Those are just the big homies, man. They just taught me a lot, you know what I mean? They took me on my first Europe run. That was how I first met Ye.
Mm-hmm. Was that where they took the picture?
The Paris trip?
The infamous picture? Yeah. But you wasn't in the picture.
I wasn't in the picture, but yeah. And that's crazy, man.
There's
been a journey out here.
I was about to say, you've been in some rooms, you've been in some situations that make you go, I mean, even though you were born into, you know, musical royalty, at some point you got to look around and go, whoa.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, the thing I know is about your journey, like for you, you say that you were mainly focused on making beats.
Yeah.
When did it become clear to you that your singing really was the thing, I guess, that was going to take you over the top?
I just had to get confident in it. That one situation, to get back to it, when YG got his first like 10 bands and gave me 4 and gave Mustard 4, and I saw him walk away with the rest of that money, it did something to me, you know? I felt like, all right, it's time to like get out here and like figure it out and do my own artist thing. So I put out the House on the Hill, which was my first solo tape, and that had this song called All Star, where my homie Fuego had sampled Swedish House Mafia, and we flipped it on some like LA like drums and, you know, tempo or whatever, and I did a straight smash to it. And it took off like on the radio stations, like from, you know, the whole California, Arizona, moving on to Texas, and then it got shut down. We got sued for putting it on iTunes without clearing it with Swedish House Mafia, which I thought it was clear, but somebody lied, and you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, how are you able to move mixtape stuff to mainstream radio level?
Because I already had Tooted and Booted, and already had, by this time, I already had all the DJs now. Because from Tooted and Booted, I'm performing at all the any event
all
that
the
they
summer
wanted
jams,
us at.
Whatever,
we're
yeah,
there,
yeah.
Like we just pulling up Sisters and making friends with everybody.
Who's your go to, like when you got a new joint that you're ready to put out? I mean, now it's different because you're an established.
You know who
act,
for LA, like who I always tell everyone, like who changed it for us and like who gave us another chance? Because when you look at it, like after the game, there was no LA. You know what I'm saying? On radio, period. So DJ Charisma, my homegirl out there, she is the one like who got like everybody's music played, I feel like. Shout out to everybody else, but definitely DJ Charisma is like—
She's the one who did it for you.
She's the one who did it for everybody.
So that's important to you for LA to still have an identity, to still have a sound, to still have a figurehead representing, like, because I just feel
game.
Like now, you know, between at least for my prime era where it was dangerous between 9 and 10. Right, right. No, it was life, third, and day. You know, it was like East Coast, West Coast, you know. And then suddenly, you know, after 2002, just stop being so regional. And I know that
the internet
game's arrival, the internet made everything regional or not regional anymore.
Erased the lines,
And so, you know, I know that's why the game was really being celebrated, because it was just like, okay, we're still, you know, Compton's still LA, up in this LA, motherfucker. Yeah. But for the generation that you represent, even though you're kind of more like heart-wise, because you came in so young, you're ahead on our level, but you also represent the next generation, millennials or whatnot. Yeah. Like, is that still an important thing to have? Like,
yeah, I think it's important to be yourself wherever you're from, and to definitely represent your sound and your people. And like, no, we're not all the same just because the internet is like, nah, like, I ain't trying to hear that. Like, if you come from New York, you're supposed to sound like you're from New York. Like, why would you sound like you're from LA Atlanta. Just because we all have the internet or Atlanta?
Right.
That's corny.
Well, I mean,
that's
gotta admit,
how it is in the streets.
Yeah.
No, I was happy as shit, because at least for when you came out, I was shocked that, I mean, your first major single was like 98 beats per minute, which as a you know, just during the period between like 2006 and kind of now, you know, everything was, you know, slow. Trap level. Yeah. 70 BPMs and slower. And so I felt like, okay, you're defiantly going against what mainstream expectations are, and you're keeping it at that level. I mean, I'm just at a place where it's like 95 to 110 BPMs.
Yeah, y'all kind of brought back
zone.
Like cookout jams. Like, it was like you could two-step to it. It was actually danceable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's always been, you know, I guess, like, when you think about the LA sound, it would be Dr. Dre, quick, you know, when you think about back then. And now for us, you know, we had to, like, when you go to these LA parties, when you go to these, like, I would say one of the things that runs the culture still to this day has always been Tommy the Clown, right? And Tommy the Clown is like this guy that comes through with like this, you know, van or whatever, and it has speakers on it, and these clowns get out and they clown dance. It's like everybody's music.
Wait, still?
Yeah, still.
When did it start?
It started when I was a kid. Like, there's always been Tommy the Clown.
I'm going to the wrong parties out there.
Yeah. And then,
wait, how did...
And then that ended up going into the, what do you call that? The
Crumpin'.
Yeah. And like, they had a movie for it. And
yeah,
that
Ray, was, Rise?
Rise.
Yeah.
Rise. Yeah. And, if you pay attention, like, they just speed up everything, and like, that's the LA sound. And then like, even like the Bay, like, their sound is the same thing, like, sped up, like, so that's where we come from. There's that music too, you know.
But it must make you proud R&B wise, because it feels like the West Coast are really taking chances with R&B. It's, you know, between you, Anderson, you mentioned Thundercat. Like, do you feel that? Do you feel like in R&B and soul music that y'all are kind of doing things a little differently over there and it's working?
I feel like we're all doing different things.
That's true.
Anderson is a movie. Shout out to bro. I'm so proud of, like, him and everything that he's doing, that he's sticking to his stuff. Iman Omari.
Yeah, that's my man. I love Iman.
That's my
man.
Bro. He's sticking to his stuff and like killing it. So many people, man.
So, as far as
Miguel, shout out to Miguel. Yeah, the album is a movie.
Yeah. So, for the title R&B, which today is so blurred, I mean, because, you know, now even when Chris Brown is in the news, and depends on which news wire is reporting.
Rap star Chris Brown.
Yeah, it'll say rapper Chris Brown.
Pop star, whatever.
Yeah, I went to the Knicks game last night to put rapper Ty Dolla $ign on the screen.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Like, how, because I just feel that black culture has just gotten sort
engulfed.
Of defaulted into
rap
culture.
Everybody's a rapper.
Do
we all
you
rap.
Feel as though, even though, I mean, your music is as edgy as, you know,
yeah,
it's so immersed in hip hop, but you're clearly singer, yeah. like, do you still feel like you need to hold that flag for R&B or what it represents? Or is it
yeah,
just...
Yeah, I feel like... I feel like there's real rappers out here and like they deserve to be like called rappers, not me. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't even deserve to be in that conversation. I sing for sure, for sure. And I would love if people would just recognize that. But my boy Rosenberg, he told me, he was like, yo, your name is like kind of rappy, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
yo, no, straight. No, I'm be real with
oh,
you,
I
man.
Forgot.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Yeah,
and, like, if the look, and if you just take a picture, you're like, oh, R&B dude? No.
He could be
to Dwayne, popular culture.
He could be Dwayne Wiggins 2.0 from
Dwayne
Tony.
Dwayne Wiggins, I can't. Yeah, what
yeah.
are you saying?
Yeah. Tony. Yeah.
Man, I was coming out of the smoke shop the other day, uh-huh. and this like old, bald, white dude, like he's bringing boxes off of a truck, and the trucks are like this juice. I'm like, yo, what's in there? Because it says sangria, but it looks like a kid's drink. He was like, nah, it is a kid's drink. It's just, that's the company. I'm like, all right. He was like, you know what? You look like that star, like them guys from the 80s that were singing that song that they weren't really singing. And he was talking about
Milli Vanilli.
Oh, the green no. one. Oh, the
no.
one that's
not. Wow,
that was
man,
hilarious.
So you look like Rob Palladas.
So I guess they were singers, right? So
yes.
I looked... Yeah,
were.
Like, do I look like a singer?
Well,
oh,
were they singers?
Know.
They weren't singers. They were lip singers.
No, they were pioneers.
They actually put out another.
Yeah, man.
If we really going to talk, they were pioneers.
They were
like
pioneers.
Milli Vanilli would go off without a hitch today. Like, it would be, man. Yeah. They died for our sins.
Yeah, that was
Tommy
the 90s.
Is everything, right?
Man.
That was the 90s, right, Milli Vanilli?
Yeah, it was the 90s.
It's funny, because I was going to ask Ty, since everybody's doing the 90s thing, is it certain groups that you just don't touch? I was thinking Milli Vanilli was one of those. Like, musically, since people are borrowing so much, and that's, you know, you duetting with Jagged.
You know what's crazy? Because, like, I think my old manager, Kevin Lyles, he wrote that song for them.
Yeah,
he did.
No, we had him on the show.
We had him on the show.
He told us that whole story.
It's
like,
crazy.
Like, he was like
full circle, right?
At the crib with his girl, yeah. and the shit was on TV. Yeah. And the video came on.
He was in bed.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kev, man.
So you, like, following up with what you were saying about the 90s. So on the, I'm tripping. I can't remember the title, but that's the one you sample Only You. On
my new song.
Yeah, on the new song.
X featuring
YG. X with YG, right. X.
Yeah, Only You by 112. It was funny. Bongo and Hitmaker, they sent me this song. And the beat, it sounded like Mustard did it. You know what I mean? I'm like, bro, if I want a Mustard.
I was going to say, wait. All right, I'm so glad you said that, because when I first got it, I was waiting for his tag, right? Because usually when I DJ, I always go like two counts before Mustard on the B-ho, and I was looking, I'd spent at least 3 minutes looking for the tag, like, oh, maybe I missed it. And then it just hit me, oh, maybe he didn't do it.
Yeah, man. So I'm like... You know, if I want a Mustard beat, I'll go get a Mustard beat. Like, I don't want it. But then I end up, you know, recording to it, and I started loving it. And then I'm like, all right, just take off the Mustard drums, bro. Like, let's just bring back the original
joint.
You know, joint. And
yeah, I'm curious about how, because as someone that grew up in the 90s, I always thought of the 90s as an era where it's almost kind of like you had to be there. You know what I mean? Like, I just, like, New Jack Swing, as much as I loved it, I didn't think it translated into now. Like, you know what I mean? It just, like, versus, like, the 70s, when cats were sampling 70s shit, I got it. When cats were sampling 80s shit, I got that. But the 90s just seemed like the most unlikely era to be sampled.
You're too close to it.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah, but, like, y'all are doing it.
Like, it's kind of hard to, like, sample it, because the swing, that's when they was using that weird-ass... Like you said, the New Jack Swing, it's like
and
a
fucking
little
corny bass line.
Like, exactly. So like that is not gonna work right now, I don't think. But the hook melodies and like, you know.
So that's what that is drawing people,
yeah,
drawing your generation to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, it's the, okay. That explains.
The harmonies. The
I just heard like the Big Sean song in my
thing,
head.
You know?
I was like, oh, okay, yes. Okay, I got it now.
Yeah, because I heard you, I was listening to it and I was like, he's singing over Only You. But I'm like, man, like that's, I never would have thought that could be reappropriated into now. You know what I mean? But the shit is dope, though.
Somebody will figure it out.
I still appreciate the Jagged Edge collabo.
I think I read at one point, I didn't realize this, that were you not almost going to sign with Cheaper Sounds at the time? I think Dominique Trenier had a label. He used to manage D'Angelo. Or someone associated with Venus Brown was...
Yeah.
He was part of that label or whatever. Like, were you at not... Nah. At one point in the... Okay. Then it was a rumor.
Okay. It was a rumor.
Yeah, I was curious to know. So, I mean, because you kind of cover a lot of ground in genres. So, how did you decide on... Well, first of all, how did you and Wiz link up? And how did you decide on the label that could say, okay, this kid does this, he does this, he does this, he does this, and they were like, okay, we can figure out how to market this? Because, I mean, you can do R&B, you can do hip-hop, you can do, like, house or whatever.
Yeah.
And for a lot of labels, whereas as a music fan, for us, that's like Wonderland, but for a label, that shit can be a kiss of death. Because yeah. They're like, what the fuck do we do with all this?
So after the House on the Hill, I go to Def Jam, back to Def Jam, right? And at the time, there's Karen Kwok. I think Max Goose just left. So there's Karen Kwok, and there's Chris Anacute, right? And I play them my record, and...
You play them Beach House?
Beach House, okay. Right before I drop it.
The first one?
Okay. Yeah, House on the Hill, drop it. And... they're like, yo, it's incredible, it's dope, you got some crazy songs, but it's like, yo, you got a house record here, you got, you know, this, you know, slow song, you got this LA song here, you got, it's like, you got so many things, bring me back a project that's just like cohesive, like one thing, you know? So I go and make Beach House 1, but when I make Beach House 1, I get cool with this dude, Sean Barron, at Atlantic, and there's this one song that I didn't include on Beach House 1, and it was called Fumble, and I end up giving it to
Trey Songz.
And since that song went, and they end up making a single, it ended up going up, Atlantic was like, all right, you know,
who's this guy?
Let's talk. So then I had Paranoid and, you know, Or Not, and everything went crazy. Beach House 1, Beach House 2. Okay, so Beach House 1, Wiz calls. He DMs me on the Twitter, and he's like, mind you, I already met him through Terrace Martin during the After the Time Court days, but back to making beats, trying to figure it out. Yeah. He hits me on the DM on Twitter, and he's like, yo, we've been playing Beach House 1 on this tour, the whole tour, me and the guys. When I get back to LA, let's work. He ends up coming back, and we make like 11 songs in one night, and
24 hours?
Yeah, like less than 24 hours.
How do you work that task?
Because, like, literally, like, if you have a pack right now on your laptop and we put on the mic, I'm going to just lay hook after 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 hook. Then we're going to come back. I'm going to see which one is worthy of a verse.
Developing,
and then...
So that's your songwriting process?
Yeah.
Like, you'll listen to the beat, and then you'll concentrate on what the hook is first?
Yeah, hook or verse. Like, whatever just comes out. Like, just put it on. I'm going to go in there, just, you know, blaze up and figure it out. And then some are great, some are good, and worthy of, like, selling to a feature, and some are...
give me an example. For a song like Paranoid.
Yeah.
You're first hearing the beat, and you're just at a live mic.
To be honest, Paranoid, that was like the third song I made on that beat. I knew that beat was so hard. And like certain times you'll make a song that's just like whatever, but you feel like that beat is so crazy that I need to give it another, you know, another swing. And then that was like the third one I did on that. And I just knew it. It felt like...
the beat felt epic enough that you had to put...
Yeah, and like when that hook came... it reminded me of when I was a kid and I first heard like Poison by BBB. I felt like I tapped into the, this is hard, but I'm singing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't feel R&B. It didn't feel like you had to feel like how when you say you look at me and it's like, yo, you look this way, but you're supposed to be R&B. Like, I felt like, yeah, I can look like this and still sing and like be me.
By the way, that was them, not me. I see whatever you want to be, black man.
Oh, Lord.
I was just. I had to think of my.
So, how long will you let the how many minutes or days or whatever will you let time go by before you're just like, it's not coming to me, let me go to the next track? And then
as soon as it's not coming then I go to the next track. That doesn't mean it's like not a good track.
It's just not back speaking
up
to you.
It's just not right at that second. Yeah. It just wasn't meant to be. That's what I feel like.
Are we doing it in order? I have such a horses in the stable question. I'm sorry.
Horses in the stable.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a title.
I know. I'm a little afraid of
that. Oh, you mean the song. Okay.
Yeah, the title. The title.
Yeah, the song. Metaphorically.
Yeah. I thought you were speaking metaphorically.
Okay. I know sometimes cuz get mad, we break the lineage. I know we was going Beach House 1, keep going. But
we're having a casual conversation amongst friends.
Because I was thinking, I had a random thought about horses in the stable and coming up with that. And I was thinking to myself on the back of the 12-year-old daughter conversation.
Yeah.
I was like in 2018
yeah.
when horses in the stable still exist.
So would I've recorded it still now? The song is so great.
It is a great.
You know what? My homegirl Tish Hyman came at the end of the album cycle of Free TC and she was like, I got this song, I wrote it for you, and I think like you should record it. And I'm like, yo, Tish, I'm done.
That's right, that's her song.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm done, like, but like, let me hear it. And she played it and it was so hard that they're mixing in the other room and I'm like, you know what, just get me a mic in here. And I go in the vocal booth, set up my laptop and like the little Pro Tools and recorded it and like added my own little thing to it. Mm-hmm. And it was it. I'm like, I'm putting it on the album, just like clear it, get it cleared, like however. And like they got it cleared and it's one of my favorite songs. I think the people love it, but guess what, I walk in the main meeting at Atlantic to where it's like the three bosses are Craig Kalman, Julie and Kaiser. Yeah. So Julie,
what the fuck is that song? Hey,
are you referring to women as horses?
Listen, because if you don't know the song, it's like horses like, in the stable, but I can't ride. But you can't. It's like you can't ride.
I'm like, listen to it again. It's not like as bad as you think it is. Like da 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 da. But shout out to Julie. And I, you know, Dalla is not a misogynist. Dalla does not hate women. Like I love women, and like I love my daughter.
It's my weird. Lady,
do you have a lot of classes with Julie? Julie's world famous classes.
For those.
For like, that,
for that, you know.
But it's a weird time, though, right? Because it's kind of like, you're right. Like, especially now, because I'm like an independent woman and everything, but I still like a good, NWA, you know, don't matter, just don't bite it or whatever.
Yeah,
that time. So it's just a. It's so
yo,
weird.
Wait,
that's my reference in my head. I'm sorry.
The eye roll of Fontigalo, like, that's the song you
could play. That's where I went. Sorry.
I'm thinking of bitches and shit. Any like, song but that song.
You bit some of niggas for life.
Like, that was my go to.
That was just, it was all good.
Okay.
The world's biggest dick.
I think it's just like a.
But you still won't be able to make
your
music.
Culture thing. Like, our songs, like just on some, you know, that's just how. We'd be talking. It's nothing that bad.
I know.
But it is kind of bad. But
exactly.
Once
right?
you learn.
Because it is what it is. Culture is kind of like, it might be ending.
It is what it is once you learn. Like, but a lot of people don't know.
It is definitely ending.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it is ending. Yeah. So that's cool though. I'm happy for the next chapter. Yeah. Let's go.
Beach House 4.
Right.
Yeah.
My sister.
Man, please don't go Hotep on Beach House 4. Please. Like, keep it ratchet.
Hotep Dollar Sign? I like that.
You collaborated with Tish on the Stealing joint too. I mentioned it in my roll call, but how did you record that? Because the vocals on it, it sounds like
it was separate.
Yeah, or well, I don't know if it was separate. It sounded like you were just in an open room, and it was just.
There's this one studio in Burbank called Wayman Sound.
Mm-hmm.
Don't steal my studio. Anyway,
wait, who owns Wayman?
I can't remember his name.
I think I've been at the studio.
It's right there on like 1908 Burbank.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm about to get paid. Hey, but like, it's a solo, like one man studio. Only one artist can be in there at a time because there's only one room. And I like that because certain studios in LA, like people will find out you're there. Because me, I don't even put my name on the door anymore. It just says private session, but people will find out you're in there and just feel entitled. Like, oh, that's the homie.
Oh, they just show up?
Yeah, like, I hate that. So now, you know, I have to pay for a security guard to be out there, which is boof. Like, I don't have to spend that extra money for security to stand out here. I'm not Michael Jackson or nobody. Like, damn. But I have to because I like my privacy when I'm working so I can get things done. You know what I'm saying?
And is that you playing acoustic on that one?
Nah. That was Tish's homeboy who, you know, she originally made that song with.
Okay. And is that you on the, or is that Babyface playing
Babyface is on the solid, the solid bass.
You play bass on solid.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah,
I'll let our audience know that I'm kind of considering. I mean, Tish is definitely going to play a major, major role in this next
record. Okay, that's what's
Tish,
up. The ladies.
Oh, that's up. Amazing.
It's our time. It's our
that's
time.
That's amazing.
I mean, we did a good. I mean, we had like a mammoth 5-day, like 24-hour straight, just sleepover at Electric Lady Studios like sometime last year, in which, how many songs are on the hard drive? Like at least 300.
Wow.
Yeah, there like 125 like full songs.
Well, and then, yeah, like, I mean, another, I just mean sketches or whatever.
Yeah,
but,
another 200 sketches or something.
Yeah, so it's like 300 total, but I mean, Tish is definitely going to, you know, she will be a major presence.
That's what's up.
I love incredible. Her.
I love Tish. Yeah. Great human being, great soul, all that.
Can we talk about talented. You asking, you mentioned him, but you kind of did it fast. And we actually interviewed Babyface, and I asked him about doing a song with you because I just thought, whoa, I was surprised. Not, you know, just not super surprised, but a pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
On your side, how do you, can you tell the story of that and were you scared or you just was like, I want Babyface and that's what it is?
Yo, man, the story of Ty and Babyface is super legend.
Hit it. You showed up unannounced at his studio.
I came in. It was, you know, already set up. He's there by himself, him and his other boy, and then his other boy leaves, and we chilling. Like, he's just playing guitar riffs. I'm like, that's dope. Just freestyling. And who else is in there with me? I think my assistant at the time or whatever. So, no, Nate, my homie Nate 3D. So Nate's rolling up for me, and I'm just freestyling and shit. He passes me the joint. I light it. All of a sudden, me and Face were just vibing. Okay, that's the one. That's the one right there. He starts to play solid, and I start coming up with the hook. And all of a sudden, his boy walks in, and he's like, yo, Face don't want you to smoke. Da, 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 da. He was just come out here. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm sitting here in the man's face and he didn't say nothing. Right. So I'm like, how the fuck did he like
tell
signal
you.
This dude?
Right.
I felt like he had like telepathic powers or something to where he like signaled
he touched his left
boy
shoulder
with the bat sign and like called him in there and he told me don't smoke. But that was cool. You know, his face, like all respect. I just like had a non-smoking session. And the song came out cool.
And he had nothing but great things to say about you when we interviewed him.
Yeah, he was amazing. And then, like, he showed up to the video in a stretched limo. What was this?
Old school?
Yeah, like.
And y'all was in the desert for that?
Nah, we was, like, by the beach somewhere, like, off in Ventura County. But, like, that was his only requirement. Just send him, you know, a stretched limo.
Wow.
Like, straight 80s. You want, Face, like.
And it was never any thought to have him sing at all, because I always thought that was interesting too. Like,
I wanted him to, but he felt like I think he did backgrounds on there.
Okay.
He did, but he just wanted me to just do my thing. He was like, "Yo, that's it," and I couldn't believe he was like loving my lines, and he recorded me and everything. Like,
that's dope.
I'm like trying to get him to vocal produce me and make it a big Face song. You know what I'm saying? Like, but he was just loving everything I did. So we got back in to work on Beach House 3. I didn't end up using that song, but we're gonna get back in again. I love working with him. He loves working with me.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. 'Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you gotta change your mind state. make the money while you're spending the money. How you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? Well, no, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at Airbnb.com/host.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit Bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
How did the Jagged Edge session come about?
Jagged Edge.
Straight up.
I've known Jagged Edge through my homie Poon.
Poon Daddy?
Yeah, Poon Daddy.
Oh, my God. From Atlanta. Chris Lover and Poon
yeah.
Daddy.
You from Atlanta?
I went to college in Atlanta.
That's what's up. So,
wait, she's from every city on the East Coast somehow. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, once I got that song done, there was this like one line that I said about Jagged Edge, and
you know
I wanted them on the song, so I called them just like to see if we could make it happen. And next thing you know, they sent it back like,
"Wow, they was pumped!" Wow. All their kids was like, "Daddy, you better
do that." Yeah. Damn. Wow. I once read a friend of mine. She's interviewed a couple times. Rebecca Heathcote. She's right LA. And I read the joint you did with her. I guess it's maybe like a year ago. But you were talking about how you understand your pops more now that you have a daughter.
Yeah.
What's that journey been like for you? Like your relationship with your dad as a kid and versus now that you have a career.
So just imagine like, say if your parents break up and mom's is always like talking down, like, you know, everything wrong about him, and it just make you hate him more and more and more and more and more. And then I have a daughter, and then the difference between me and her mother, like, and everything she's saying, and I'm sure she's saying like all kind of crazy stuff, but like, yet I've been able to hold a, you know, cool relationship with my daughter. But just seeing that, I figured out like, oh, okay, this is why I was like, you know, listening to her. It wasn't really like how I was between us. So that's why I said that. But I was wrong. And my pops definitely is the reason why I'm here today. And shout out to my pops. I couldn't have done it without you.
What's y'all relationship like now?
We're great. He's always, you know, put me on to different things he's into, and I'm putting him on to all the new stuff. And any questions about, you know, his, you know, the old stuff, he can always be right there to answer. Like the other day, I was looking for that. Tonight is the night that you made me Betty Wright.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out who it was and called him like, who's that song with that He's like, no, what is that singing? I'm like, you know when it'd be like, good love.
Right.
He's like, oh, Betty Wright. Like, see, so Pops is always there, like, for those moments and for, you know, just being a dad.
On your records, you got TC. So just to clarify, we were speaking offline like before. So Little TC, that's your cousin that is with you now.
Yeah.
And then Big TC, that's your brother that's locked up.
Yeah.
He's on he's on campaign and he's on Free TC as well. And that's him singing.
Yeah.
Is he your older brother or younger brother?
Younger.
He's younger.
Yeah.
Did y'all, I don't know when he got locked up. How did y'all ever collab when he was out?
Yeah, we always like just sung around the house and like recorded songs together and like just tried to, you know, made groups. He would have his thing, I would have my thing. And, you know, when my parents broke up, he went his way, I went my way. It's definitely important who you hang around, man, because I felt like if he would have been hanging around the people I was hanging around and I would have hanged around the people he was hanging around, it might have been different for me, you know?
No, because I really like his voice. And
super
the thing
talented.
Is, y'all
super.
Sound like brothers. Like, he sounds like you, but yeah, y'all, but it's dope. Like, it's y'all sound man, definitely like each other.
He might be better than me, man. Shout out to bro.
See, my shit is getting worse before it's getting better. It's like the people got a curse. Can't nobody stay together. I watch them get my people down. Let's be killing off each other. No, no. Ain't no justice for the brothers. No, no. See the red light behind this
car. He's fighting a life sentence for something that he didn't do. So with Free TC, if anything, you know, we rose awareness for sure around the world for the social injustice and everything that's going on. And like I said, I took every bit of the money I made from that project and put it back into his case. So God willing, you know, we're going to get some results real soon. D-Loke, who was also featured on Free TC, he was right next, you know, he was
they're
in the cell
rapping,
with
right?
my brother.
Yeah.
And he's out now. He's out here with us. I started my label, The Movement, and I got D-Loke. I got TC. I got 24 Hours. I got Joe Moses. I got Tish. And we out here.
So the No Justice record, was that in the autobiography? Is that like what happened with what he's singing and what you're singing?
Yeah. We definitely spoke up on it.
I mean, cause I know you have to be sensitive about what you can say, but I was listening to it. I was like, hold up, these niggas sound like they telling the truth. This don't sound like just a song. You know what I mean? I'm like, it sound real.
Yeah, man. It was crazy. Like, once, I feel like once they get on you, they just be on you. And, like, they don't want to look stupid for being on you. So they'll figure out a way to, like, just make it solid, you know, without it even being solid. And he got, you know, put in the twist. But like I said, we working on it. And God willing, it's going to happen. I swear we working on it.
That song is everything.
And Free TC went gold, finally. So shout out to Team Dollar and everybody that streamed it and bought it. And
purchase.
We're gonna Free TC.
Yeah, man. That's
so the most important part.
Running a team. Now, actually, I want to bring this back to Sara, because I'll say that for me, one of the most major disappointments I've ever had was watching their situation implode.
Yeah.
Because for me, I always felt as though tribes, people that move together, can get to their destination faster than just individual artists.
Yeah,
and if you look at the history, especially with hip hop, tribes move together. In other words, I mean, Wu-Tang Clan, you have to associate it with the individual artist, Method Man, Red Man, Ghostface,
the GZA,
like all of them. As individual artists moving as a unit. And even for people that are not part of a movement necessarily, like you look at Puff's era, you might call it the Jiggy era or whatever, but you still think of Flossy rappers. You think of Jay, you think of Puff,
Mace,
Foxy, Kim, like, and they all move together. The same with Native Tongues, which was groups of groups, Tribe, De La Soul, Jungle Brothers. And so when Sara came along, especially with them and their association with Jay Davey,
Georgia.
Yeah, with Georgia Ann and all that stuff. I was like,
I was just listening to Georgia like all morning.
Yeah.
She's amazing, man.
Yeah, and it's like, for me, I was so elated because I was just like, great. Like, someone gets the whole like gathering of the tribes together and move it along, and then like, I have my thoughts on
why.
Well, I mean, I'm not, you know, like, my fear was that, because when I saw their approach, I was like, yo, they're so fresh. But I also knew, you know, like post Jay, there's
winner take all.
Swagger Jackin sort of became legal in terms of, I mean, you could say Swagger Jackin or whatever, but like, where you just drink someone's milkshake and, mm-hmm. you know, oh, they fresh. Let me see what they got going on. And then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
And for me, I was like, and I told them, I said, yo, just, I want y'all to concentrate. A lot of people going to look at y'all like, yo, y'all the new thing out. I want to be down. I want to be down. And I was like, just ignore it. Get to the goalpost first and then
branch out.
Start your associations and that
build
stuff.
Build wide before you build high.
And then kind of when Ye came along, I was afraid. I was like, oh, man, I'm afraid. And I called what happened. And it's like they got excited. And then
and that album sat movement. For 3 fucking years. And then yeah.
I mean, I can say the same also with what would have been the Odd Future movement and
that
whole thing. So watching that situation implode, first of all, how did that affect you really? Or was it just like, well, that didn't work. Let me move on and, you know, start my own thing. Like, how do you keep your tribe and your family together and working? And active.
You see, like, I've been through many tribes, man. I've been through many tribes, and I had to just keep on working. When other people, like, give up and feel like, you know what, I put my all into this, I'm not about to do it again. Like, I still have some more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So no, I found, like, the right tribe, like, the right team, and, like, that's important.
Nah, because, I mean, your stuff, man, like, one thing that I was going to ask you was just, like, with the Ty and Corey stuff, with that situation not working out, I know a lot of cats that would have called it quits right then, like, because y'all were making some cool shit, and a lot of times, the thing that I want people to just, I guess, kind of understand about your story, like, and a big reason why we wanted to get you on the show is because I think, like, a lot of people don't really know it, like, they just see you as, like, the hit maker that where you are now, but they really don't know your grind. And like, I remember first time I played And If for like a friend of mine, and I'm like, yo, you know who that is, right? And he's like, I'm like, yo, that's Ty Dolla $ign. No, it ain't. I'm like, no, that's Ty. That was before he was who he is, but this has been a process. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. it's been a grind.
Jesus Christ.
It's really been a grind.
So how did you not get discouraged to, because I know people now that even on their fifth attempt at climbing a mountain, they can't.
You know where I fucked up? Because like, I put so much time into like doing music and learning music and only caring about music that's like what I knew how to do. So that if I didn't do this, then it was like, all right, okay, I'm
what else
selling weed and I'm doing all that, but like, this doesn't really make me happy. I really have to kick it around these weirdos, like, like, you know. So I just stuck to this, and then once YG's thing started taking off, that was like so inspiring. And then like, all right, I don't want to make beats anymore. Jacazo died. Then Mustard started taking off, and that was so inspiring. I was like, oh shit, we could do this. Like, it was timing. Like, I just came in at the right time, and you know.
So technically, all right, just treat me like a 5-year-old with this question. I'm Laia the show.
I'm Laia.
No, but in my head, like, I thought that Mustard was starting a crest of a new movement.
Yeah.
But is he still rolling with the original cast of characters that came in the door with him, with YG, with you, and anyone else that was associated with all of his sonic assault of 2013 coming in the door? Like, are you still going to work, continue to?
Yeah, I think, like, the sonics are changing, and, like, everything is, you know. Mustard got his, whatever he's doing, YG, You know, he's got 400, Mustard's 10 summers, I got the movement, and we come together as 400 summers, the movement. We gonna work, YG and Mustard working right now. I just sent YG some new music when I was out in Dubai like 2 weeks ago. Me and Neo linked up and we just like made songs for a week.
Oh wow.
And we sent YG something, so.
What's your creative process? Like, do you write and record every day? Is it just kind of when you feel it? How do you do it?
Like, whenever I see something like this, I get excited, man.
Yeah.
Like,
the room or the people?
The room, the people, everything. Like, it's like, this is a couple million dollars right here, you know? Well, besides that,
that's,
like,
that's weird. He was in it like, oh man, I could just. We look at it like, oh man.
right, we're back again.
Nah, man.
You do most of your recording still at the crib.
Yeah.
What's your setup at
your
the crib?
Your home setup, yeah.
Home setup is, the setup's everywhere. So now, like, I finally bought a drum set and, like, I got it fully mic'd and I got a baby grand and it's fully mic'd. And,
oh, wow.
I've been buying little drums from everywhere I go. I just came back from Kenya. I'm about to bring something back.
You were performing in Kenya or just visiting?
Yeah, I went to Nairobi, wow. Kenya.
And yo, I tell y'all, the like Live Nation is really planting their feet in the African market now. Okay. Okay. So like,
I'm wondering why they've been so late, but it's cool.
You mean
it's,
the world been so late?
No, why they've been so late on bringing me there, because I didn't know I had that many fans. Like, it was like 5,000 people out there going nuts.
Wow. Well, was this, I mean, like initially, I mean, there's always been a desire for artists to go over there, but you would have to have a lot of money. Like, there was a point where I think like when Miseducation was really popping, like Lauren and the Roots, we're going to tour Africa like in 99, 2000,
that
whatever.
Been.
But because there wasn't a Live Nation, there's not a promoter there.
There's not a backer.
And the government system.
Real money.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's a lot of funny money over there.
Yeah.
Oh, something happened.
Get some oil, take it.
Right. It was like a lot of scammage going on. Let's just be PC about it.
Oh, yeah.
But,
send me your social security number. I'm a Nigerian prince.
Yo, dog. If I could tell you, like, the six close but no cigar moments we had with Africa, but then, like, suddenly, like, in, I guess, like, 2009, like, all of a sudden, like, Buster was constantly going to Africa. I'm like, what you know that we don't know? And suddenly, like, Live Nation has reps over there, and
yeah, that could back
know,
it.
So now, yeah, like Africa is now an option for artists to go to now.
They better
so.
Be employing people
That's
over
dope.
There, yeah, not just like flying the, people in the country.
Best energy ever.
Continent.
Have you done South Africa yet?
I haven't.
Oh man,
I know they want it, so I'll be out there soon. Y'all don't trip.
Nah, you'll kill it over there. They'll love you.
That's crazy.
We're going to Lagos in March.
Uh-oh. Kenya and Nigeria, they different.
Yeah, you gotta go visit the shrine. If you go to Lagos, you gotta go to Fela's shrine. Like, yeah. It's still very active and still a musical, spiritual experience. So,
are you Fela familiar?
Kuti?
Yeah. I just wanted to hear you say it. I knew you were.
Yeah.
What's your mic of choice, like, at the crib? Like, what mic you like to use?
I have a C800.
The Sony joint,
yeah,
gotcha.
My voice is like hella bottom heavy, so that brings the brightness out. But I have every mic. I got the Neumanns just in case whoever comes over. I'm a gearhead for sure.
Okay.
Then I got the old way of Pro Tools where everybody feels like you need the full rack.
Uh-huh.
Then I have the laptop with the duet, and I have the quartet, and like what I like to record on the quick way. Because you get the same, you just take it to the big studio and put
and
whatever
put
you
up.
Want to put on it, you know? That's about it.
When do you think you mentioned earlier?
20 basses, 8 guitars,
oh, wow.
All acoustics. Yeah.
Damn.
We can have fun, man.
All right, bro.
I want to buy a Rhodes next. I don't have one. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Buying a Rhodes. That's so crazy because, like, you're moving. Like, all my homies that are keyboard players, they swear by, like, all the virtual entries.
Yeah, I'm
now.
Getting a Kronos. Yeah. Like,
dog.
I just got a Kronos. I cannot wait. Yeah,
yeah, like, I was watching a video with a Greg Fillinganes.
Uh-huh.
And he was playing, it was some new virtual joint, and he says that's, like, his main thing now. Like,
yeah.
It's the Rhodes, like, they,
well, it's so
you
dope.
Can't tell the difference.
What's so dope is that the patches on these keyboards now are song titles.
I saw you. Well, I saw that on your IG story.
So, but what, yesterday, I'm still. This is 4 weeks after I did that IG story. Like, the song titles are endless. Like, I was only in one, what do you call it? One channel.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize that it's letters A through G. I was only in the letter A.
Using A. Oh, shit.
So, yesterday I was in C, and it was like, I mean, they had the funky, they literally had Funky Worm, Crisscross, what? Well, I'm sorry.
Jump.
They called it,
call it Jump.
They called it Crisscross Jump Patch. But it, literally, G thing. But matching it note for note. I mean, it'll put programmers out. Well, not that programmers like Stevie Wonder's guys are.
Cecil Margulis.
Yeah, not like they're in business to program anymore. But now it's like there's literally no excuse for you to not find the song. You just type in the song title and
you know,
boom,
that's what it is.
You got your patches.
I was reading that you were saying we're working on Beach House 3. It was a lot of records you had to turn down in order to get it. And I was curious to know, how do you determine what is for you versus what is for someone else? Or, like, how do you make that determination of, all right, this song, this feature is worth my time versus, you know what, fuck that. I'm going to do this shit for me.
It's all in how it makes me feel at the time and what I'm on. Mm-hmm. And for Beach House 3, I started with Message in a Bottle, which is the last song, which a lot of the homies be like, yo, you tapped into the Ty and Corey vibes. I'm like, thanks, man. So anyway, I started with that, so I felt like everything had to be as good as that. And I knew I wanted to do a lot more singing so I could like get this whole the rapper Ty Dolla Sign thing, you know, away from me. What came next after Message in a Bottle? We did So Am I.
Okay.
So Am I, Famous, and Side Effects. That's all my homies. Pooh Bear.
Yeah, Pooh Bear from 1500?
He's not 1500. Okay. He's just like solo, but he's amazing. I've known him for a while. He's been in the game for a minute as well. He wrote Peaches and Cream for 112 back in the day.
Ah, okay.
And like he also wrote Justin Bieber's verse on Despacito. And
oh, like, God. He good. Damn.
Yeah,
he's good for a minute.
Yeah.
Wow.
So shout out to Pooh Bear.
What was the difference between the Campaign and Beach House? Because at first, Campaign was a mixtape, and then Atlantic put it out. Like, how do you differentiate between what's a tape and what's an official album?
I would have loved it to count as an album.
That's some of my favorite shit is on Campaign.
I appreciate it, but I guess I didn't do my business right at the time. I'm learning.
Teach us, okay.
You have to like go through the album cycle with the lawyers and all that before you can't just give them a record and be like, this is an album, whatever. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. So
so you just basically said here, and they were like, nope, mixtape.
Yeah, like because I wanted to drop it immediately and like,
they were like, if you want to drop it immediately, you have to do the mixtape. They know.
Yeah, like it just couldn't get cleared in time or whatever the case. So, you know, it came out as a tape. And still had Campaign on it and Zaddy and, you know, some songs that people love. So shout out everybody that streamed Campaign.
But does that also mean that you get to control your mixtapes? Like, do they own the master to the mixtape, or is it just like how does that? I've never released a mixtape in my life.
Wow, that's fascinating. Right. Maybe it's time.
That's a different era. It's just
that's
us. That's the movement.
Yeah,
it is. But I mean, like, do you get to own your masters and everything if it's a mixtape?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, but yeah, they'll promote it for you.
Yeah.
Just so that, okay, so it's sort of like them handing out the flyer at the end of the night.
Right, right.
Helping you out. I see that.
So by now, I imagine that your wish list for working producers, musicians, and artists is kind of being chopped down, right? Because you just said you walked in here and you were like, shoot, I got John Mayer this album.
Yeah.
I mean, you got John Mayer, you got Skrillex, you got Future, you got everybody. Like, you got Babyface. Let's...
Is it anybody left?
Yeah, who's left?
Yeah, I want to work with Kid Cudi. I want to work with y'all, too.
You haven't done that with Cudi?
That's
true.
That
seems... Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That seems like a no-brainer.
We'll get together soon. There's a lot of people I still want to work with.
Are there Jay, any other
Beyonce?
The Jagged Edges type of people that you want to
work
with?
Yeah, like old school. Well, like, considered old school. 90s, yeah, 90s, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I you know, the song would just have to come up first, mm-hmm. and then
you hear it. And
I
feel
just
it.
Hear it and feel it and get it done.
You were saying
me and Charlie Wilson had a song too that could have went on Beach House 3, but the song is amazing. We'll see what happens with it.
Would you consider doing any Yiddish folk songs on Beach House 4?
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna make a Beach House 4. Actually, I'm gonna. You know, think of a new title.
What are the obsession with the houses?
Yeah, I think the beach
titles?
House is. Just, oh, I like this. Yeah. You're a lot closer to it now, I'd imagine, than you were on one.
Yeah. I got a Long Beach beach house, but like, it's not the one that I imagine.
Ain't the one you want.
I'm gonna still like.
Where's the dream
beach
house?
To get the dream one, it could probably be in, you know, Malibu or
Malibu, yeah.
Star Island in Miami, or you know. There's gonna be many beach houses, you know, the way my life is looking.
I know that's right. You
yeah, say that, my nigga. Hell yeah. Words of wisdom.
That shit was wise.
When do you think you gained confidence as a singer? Because you said it early, you know, you weren't really confident in it.
I gained confidence, when I seen YG walk away with the rest of that bread, and he gave me 400.
Have y'all talked about this yet?
Yeah, we talked about it. I said it a couple times.
You know, that motivated me, man.
He said, you got one more time to mention that in the interview.
Yeah, well, for sure. That will definitely change you, man, when you see it's possible, like when you guys have just been working in the back, you know, of grandma's crib, and then all of a sudden you can go get paid for real. People want to pay for this? Let's go get it then.
That's really words of wisdom. Let's go get
it. It really is. Hell yeah. You see a nigga, you walk off with $400, he walking off with $10,000. Yeah, I'd be a singing ass.
That's right.
I'm about to. Man, we thank you for coming on the show today, man.
Thank y'all.
And bringing your guitar.
Yeah,
it's
a pleasure. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
It's random. Do you bring that guitar everywhere?
This is not mine. I actually stole it from the back. And just been like,
you hear that, James? Make sure he put it back.
Nah, man, we thank you very much. On behalf of Sugar Steve.
Oh, hold up. Damn, we forgot.
What?
Real quick before we get Master Teacher.
Master Shit. Teacher.
We can't forget that.
The original Master Stay Woke.
Teacher. Original Stay Woke. How did that come about?
We were just vibing over at Shafiq's house in Georgia. That's a gang of people on that song. Georgia, Bilal.
The whole family.
Erykah Badu. Everybody. It was just a vibe.
She
man.
Just happened to be there.
Yeah, and I just did, like, me and Corey did one part on there.
Wow.
And, you know, Georgia did a part, and this person did a part, and this person did a part, and then you have Master Teacher, Stay Woke.
Which and album is that on?
That's on
America.
America.
That's what I thought.
America,
okay, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Can we officially say that she invented that term, I Stay Woke?
Be careful.
That was the first place I
That's the first place
hear.
I ever heard it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just say Donald Glover didn't.
Right,
I'm gonna just say that.
Oh hell no!
Yeah.
No. He definitely got it. Okay. Damn.
Yeah, I think she might have. Yeah, she might have coined
it. I don't even want to say he bit it. He might have just found out. But like, no, when just, he found out, it was a great
for
thing.
For those that listened to that
shout
song,
out to him for that song.
We've been saying it.
That has nothing to do with staying woke.
Nah. I hate when people do that.
I didn't. Thank you.
Not you. I'm just saying, like, when artists do that and be like, "Oh, you bit me," like.
It's, you know, it's up in the air.
I didn't have like many songs like when I made Saved, like J. Cole had a song like
don't
about
save,
the same thing
save,
right at the right. same save. Time and yeah. I'm like don't save, nah. I mean I put out another song where I did this
or Nas.
Yeah, that was
a
another
couple
or,
had
a couple
Nas.
Or Nas, yeah.
I didn't try to say people bit me. I just had the best or nah. And then
you had the definitive or nah.
Thank you. It's been many songs like that. Me and Chris Brown and who else? We put out the Meek Mill with the Tony sample.
Yes, yes.
And there was like some other song that had the Tony sample. I heard they thought we copied them or whatever. Come on, man.
Hey, man.
Like, there's only 12 notes on the...
It's who does it loudest.
Yeah.
That's what I said. It's a quiet storm in every city.
Right. It's who does it loudest. But nah, man, just thank you for coming. And just, I mean, for us to sit here, I just want to say I'm a fan. And I really, just to have watched your journey and where you started, where you've taken
That's
it,
That's crazy because I'm a big fan of you. Like,
thank you, brother.
Like, in my old whip, right, I had... you know how we all had CD cases like the big the giant
Case Logic
one.
Joint.
And I had all your joints. I had all your joints.
Yo!
Right? And then somebody broke in my shit and took all of my CDs and I just never went and got CDs. Well, I have the cases still at the crib,
right, right.
But the actual CDs were in that book. And like, yo, it just pisses me off every time I look at the cases. But,
you just remind me of the late 90s, early aughts, where you had to have like the travel cases.
Yeah, yeah, the big case logic joint.
And
yeah,
a car with like 50 CD changers in the back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would have it in the trunk. Yeah, if you was really bougie, you had the CD changer in the trunk.
Oh, Jesus, man.
That was the original on demand.
Yeah, so. It was. Anyway, on behalf of Sugar Steve, Fontigolo, It's Laia, and unpaid and boss bill. Any last words, you
two? Absent bills.
Absentee bills. Anyway, Ty, thank you very much for coming on the show. This is Questlove.
Thanks again, man.
Questlove Supreme. We will see you on the next go round. Only on Pandora.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio. This classic episode was produced by the team at Pandora.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.